All right, good morning. We just keep convention going a little bit here. We have a couple of speakers this morning, and the first face is, very well known to us here. And it's a divine appointment for him. Twice he's tried to get out of town, and they wouldn't let him leave. You know, one, because he was supposed to hear Pastor Stan's message yesterday morning, and the other so that he could speak here. Here's Pastor Arto from Finland.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for making this such a great convention. We are the body, and we have had a great celebration. And as you can see, my luggage already traveled. So let's pray. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much this morning. Just thank you for this time of praise. Thank you for this opportunity that we as your people can give you the praise, honor, and glory. For you are the only one who really deserves it. Yes, Lord. Really bless these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings from Finland. We have had an extraordinary year. We have been in the middle of a transition in many ways, and just God has given us great grace. But I would like to us turn in the book of Revelation, in the fourth chapter, in the sixth verse. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, meaning outside and inside, full of eyes. And this is a quite striking picture of something that we just don't have concepts to describe. Here we are in the very center of the universe, God's throne, and there's four special creatures. Actually, the word is same than for the animal that is used about these creatures, but they clearly are not animals even. They have some majestic animal kind of features, face of a lion, face of a bull, and so on. But their ability to perceive in the superior way what is around them and what is inside of them makes them very interesting to us this morning. They have vastly superior ability to see accurately right there at the throne of God, who God is, what's happening there. And they are also able to recognize and perceive who they really are. These are the two abilities that we are greatly lacking ourselves. So we can just imagine what they perceived and what they understood right there in the throne. But we can see that they will not rest. In the verse 8, it says that they do not rest day or night. They do not rest. Because they are so struck by what they are perceiving with this superior ability of understand and know and see. They are realizing in an amazing capacity who God is. And what's their response? Day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's amazing. That's nearly the only thing that they are doing and saying. They have some other roles in the book of Revelation too, but day and night, they are seeing what the reality really is, and they say, holy, holy, holy. And I'm not surprised that God would create some creature especially just for this purpose, that there would be somebody in creation who really can perceive who he is, as it is possible for any creature to ever realize any part of who God is. They are equipped as much as possible to be able to do that. We don't have that capacity, but we are like those 24 elders that are mentioned in the next verse. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You're worthy. You are worthy, O Lord." The testimony of the four living creatures is somewhat neutral. And in that sense, I think that they are a little bit like animals. Like they are so totally blinded about everything else. They can just see God. And they are so struck by who He is, and they just respond to that in an amazing way, who God is. But the response of these 24 elders is a little bit more like, what do we have? Because they are following the lead of those four creatures. Whenever they give the praise, they fall down, these 24 elders. And they confess, what is the creation's relation to God? And that is simply the response, God, you are worthy to receive this praise. You are worthy to receive this honor and glory. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. So they make a value judgment. The four creatures don't make a value judgment. They just recognize as it is, and these 24 elders make a conclusion, God, you are worthy. And later on in the next chapter, we'll find out how everybody is saying together how Lamb is worthy. And these kind of statements are flooding the heaven and the atmosphere of heaven. And we are not now in heaven, but we do have the most perfect testimony through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, through who Jesus Christ is. And we have now insight, some insight, real insight. It's true insight. And we can say holy. And we can conclude worthy. Because that is our judgment about God as moral beings. God, you are only worthy. And if this is taking place in the center of this universe, if this is taking place there right now, Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Reverence of the Lord is wisdom." And if this reverence, this same recognition and insight is in my heart, in the center of my being, I'm like those 24 elders, and I am saying something tremendously wise. Worthy. Lord, you are worthy to receive all honor, praise, glory. It will lead me to wisdom in all my life. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And today, and this week, we have had a tremendous opportunity to come to a place, say together as one body, holy, worthy, you are Lord. And that thing is the way of life to us. That's the beginning of wisdom. That is timeless. This is eternal. And this is the beginning of wisdom for our times. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. That was Than on the trumpet, right? I'm sorry, Nathan. No, I mean, that is Than. No, it's Cammy. No, that's Than, isn't it? Yeah, okay. All right, so isn't that, and that's Sky's son. And didn't he do a good job? That was awesome, yeah. And Julius, let's see, Julius, what were you doing with you were the trumpet? The two trumpets. Wow, isn't that good? Wow, the music. Why do we love the music like that? Because we're Spanish. Yeah. Inside. That was awesome. And wasn't Pastor Arto's message awesome? That was a really... Man, that's... I think a lot of the pastors... took notes on that, and we go, that's a message right there. Right, Pastor Ken? Yes, that's a Pastor Brian. Wasn't that good? Wow, taking that home. That's a good one. We heard 49 messages this week, and they were not small potatoes. They were like amazing mess. 49 different messages this week. Isn't that amazing? And I mean, we're just chewing on them and eating them. Okay, we have two brothers this morning that are going to share. But we have Pastor Ardell, then the two brothers is Pastor Tomasz Bilicek, and then Pastor Chris Sarman. Now, up on the map there, because we're like geography people here at Greater Grace, because we go into all the world, and we kind of learn these words like Czech Republic. Here's Czech Prague. Is where Tomasz is from. Now, Pastor Tomasz came here to Bible College years ago and has followed Christ. I've known him because of living in Budapest and knowing this part of the world a little bit, being in camps and summer. It was normal for me to go to 5 conferences in the summer in Europe. And through the year, about 10 to 12 different conferences in the year. So I got to know people, see the work of God in this part of the world. So he has a vision with his wife to go down here, Hungary, and we have Serbia and this city, Belgrade, and to start a church there. So that's what he's going to do by God's grace. He would like team members. So like this part of the room, you're done, you're finished, you're going. No discussion, okay? We're doing it. You get your passport and, all right, meet you at the airport. So you'll be on his team and live here in Belgrade, Serbia. We have churches here in Albania, in Tirana. We have gone soul winning from Budapest down here to Zagreb, Ljubljana, and of course the work in Romania. Pastor Mihail, I think, preaches tonight. I think, is that right, Pastor Mihail? Yes, you ask your wife. No, okay. So that'll be. He lives here in Brasov. Oleg is from Moldova. And on it goes. We've heard folks from here, Lviv, Krakow, Warsaw, it's Berlin, Steffenstein, and so on. So welcome, Pastor Tomasz. Okay, come on. You're welcome.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's great honor and joy for me to be here with you. Thank you for making it available for me and for your open arms. Thank you, pastors, that I could take part in this conference. So you've seen it. I just want to ask you for prayers. And let's now turn to the Word of God. If you would turn with me into Isaiah 49, the book of Isaiah 49, verse 16. Isaiah 49, verse 16. It says here, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this moment. We thank you for your word that speaks to us. And just ask you to lead us now, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great verse. God speaks to Zion, but in application it's related also to us. He says, "I have engraven you in the palms of my hands." We know that it speaks about the cross. One day we will see his hands, his pierced hands. And this is something what I want to speak about. I became believer in Prague, in Czech Republic. I studied Prague Bible School under Pastor John Boyce. And one day I was going late night home from Bible school, walking down the street, and suddenly this woman appeared in front of me. And it was a gypsy woman. She had a lot of glitters in hair and a lot of colors. And she came and she said, "You young man, show me your palm." Yeah. Of course, I was like, no way. Like. You know, she wanted to do this fortune telling from the lines on my palms. And because I refused, she cursed me. She cast a spell on me, and she cursed me. And she said that within 1 year, I'm not going to be here. It's been 16 years already, and I'm still here. But it's very interesting, like somebody can come to us and say something. Somebody can come and cast a spell and curse. And what are we going to do? It's easy to say, well, I've been taught in Bible school that when we read Numbers 23, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? It's Balaam trying to curse Israel. I remember this verse and I knew the curse has no power over me. But we need to learn the word of God, and we need to learn to trust the word of God. That was her palm reading thing she was trying to do. Then, some other time, I was in the Balkans with my wife, and we were there with this amazing couple, Pastor George Arman and Carol Arman. We were serving in Croatia. And my wife was, I don't know if you can say it, heavy pregnant. She had this really nice big belly. And there inside there was a baby. And we named the baby Elizabeth. She's my daughter. She's 8 years old now. So we were there. She was there with Elizabeth in her belly. And we had really great evening. We had a meeting and people were coming to the meeting. And I was getting ready to deliver a message, to focus on the word of God. And my wife just jumped out that she's going to buy some little drink. You know, these pregnant women, they drink a lot. So she went to the store to buy water. And on her way, she met this gypsy witch. This gypsy witch crossed her way, stopped her. And she said, "The baby in your belly will be born dead." You know, there are evil spirits. There is evil in the world. But these strange voices, we know that it doesn't apply to us. In John 10, we have a passage about shepherds speaking to the sheep. John 10, verse 5, it says, "And his sheep, stranger, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." These strange voices are coming. They are saying things. They want to get us off the track. But we know it's a strange voice. It's not what we have been taught. It's not how we know the Lord. The Lord is different. And because we've been well taught in the Bible school, we know that the demons are not omniscient. They don't know everything. We know they cannot see the future. We didn't believe this bitch. And as I said before, my daughter is 8 years old now. You know? It was a lying voice. And there is a devil. He's lying. He's lying about us. He's lying about our purpose. He's trying to put fear into our lives. They are trying to read from our palms the line of life and death. But there is only one palmer reading, and that's the hands of Jesus. There is our future. When we look into his pierced hands, there is our future. We are secure in Jesus' palms. Thank you very much. God bless you. Amen.
Is that better? Now we're cooking with electricity. All right. My name is Pastor Chris. I'm from Lilongwe, Malawi. From Baltimore, but living in Lilongwe, Malawi. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll begin. Lord, thank you for what we've heard already. Amazing, Lord. We're graven in the palm of your hand. We have a future. We have wisdom. We have perception. And bless the rest of the messages today and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great blessing to be here. It's a great blessing to see you. Great blessing of fellowship. In 1 Kings chapter 3, I've been thinking about this as we've been thinking about the topic about wisdom for our times and how it connects us together and how we, as Doug mentioned, we're one family, different parts of that family. It says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice. There was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.'" And I thought about that. Imagine if God appeared to us and said to us, like, "Ask what you want from me, and I'll give it to you." And I think we could have a lot of different ideas, right? We live in the third world, my wife and I and family and my parents, who were in Croatia with Pastor Bolchek years ago, and now are in southern Central Africa, and also with the Slivas, and we're there. And you know, in the third world, being a pastor, being in the ministry, is actually like a great promotion. It's probably one of the top 10 careers that you could have, is to be a pastor, and it's something that's greatly sought after. You know, where can you go that you, in many places, you work one day a week and you get a paycheck, you know? And that's what many people think. I'll just preach a message on Sunday and that's all I got to do. And this is sometimes what's sought after. And, you know, imagine that, you know, some of them could have the idea, if God could, you know, tell me and ask me, what could I give you? And they could have so many choices. And God is, he said he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He said to us that we have, you know, if he's freely given us himself, will he not freely give us all things? And so he kind of poses this question to us. What can I give you? And Solomon, as a young man with a lot of authority now, could ask for so many different things. But look at what he asked for. He says, verse 5, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. And the Lord spake to David my father, saying, The son whom I'll set upon your throne, he'll build a house to my name." And he basically what he asked for is that he asked for wisdom. I skipped to verse chapter 5. That's why it looks strange. All right. And in verse 6, he says he asked for wisdom. He said, "I don't know how to rule over this great people. Can you give me wisdom?" Like it says in James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for wisdom. And really, that wisdom is to get to know God. Really, we don't know what we're doing in Malawi, but we ask God for wisdom and say, "God, lead us." We've been trained, we've been taught in Bible school, but every situation is different. And we need the wisdom of God. We need to know the character of God. Like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. I'm an apostle. For 40 years, I'm an apostle. I've planted churches, but I want to know God. That's the wisdom of God, to get to know him. And in 1 Kings chapter 10, we have this Queen of Sheba that comes, and she sees everything that's going on in the kingdom of Solomon. But she doesn't comment so much on the wealth and the prosperity, which a lot of people are seeking after. But she comments on the unity of Solomon and his people. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8, he says, "Happy are your servants that sit before you and continually hear of your wisdom." And I think this is what God gives us. I think God gave Solomon the wisdom to ask for wisdom. Does that make sense? Like, we don't know what to ask for. And the Holy Spirit says to us, "You need me. You need to know me." This is what the principal thing is. Proverbs 4:5. You need wisdom. You don't hear the lies that are out there. You know, there's so many different things that are out there. In Malawi, you know, there's all these new titles in Christianity that I never heard of. You know, we have, like, there's a prophet, okay, but then there's prophetesses, like the women prophets. There's apostle, then there's apostoless. You know, then there's a pastor, and there's a pastoress, you know. And I saw this, I think I said this before, but I saw this one big banner, you know, on the way to church one time, and it was like for a crusade. And it was the major prophet, Elijah so-and-so. I thought, wow, that is a great title. He's not a minor prophet. He's like who wants to be a minor prophet, right? He's a major prophet. And so there's so many things that people are after, but it's not the wisdom of God. It's not, the wisdom is the unity, the life, the joy that we partake of, the fellowship that we've had here for this week that's been amazing. And every joint supplies. It's awesome. And this is what we're after. This is what the queen who had all this wealth said is what was amazing in Solomon's kingdom. Look at the unity. Look at the joy that even your servants have. They sit before you and they get to hear of your wisdom continually. And just to finish, we had a brother in our church, and he got something that's very coveted in the third world. He applied for a green card and the green card lottery, and he won the green card. And, you know, he asked us what he should do, and we just said, you know, be led by God. And there was a problem in, you know, the paperwork. He didn't file the paperwork in time, and he ended up losing the green card. And I thought, you know, this is going to be devastating for this person. But I asked him, you know, how is the thing going with your green card? And he said, I ended up losing it. And I said, are you okay about that? And he said, you know, maybe it's the plan of God. Maybe God wants me in the ministry here. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. Like, he really is seeking after God's wisdom. And God has touched his heart, and it doesn't even bother him. He doesn't feel regret or remorse, you know. And I think this is what we see. We see, like, God, you've given us your character. You've given us your mind. You've given us your heart, like we heard from Pastor Tomasz. And it's amazing. So, amen.
Yeah, we'll close in a song, maybe. Yeah, so I think you're wondering if you should go down or stay here. Yeah, I'm going to finish. We're closing, so you're welcome. All right. So weren't those good portions? Wow, that was amazing. You know, the palms. The palms of God. Let's read those palms, right? Let's read those palms. And then the asking wisdom and what it means was like awesome. And Pastor Arto's message on the eyes, the creatures full of eyes. That was good. Great. And then Mary LaFlame, who just sang, like many years ago, where was it? In Lenox, 85, 86 maybe. They made a CD called East Wind. And I have one of those. And I played in my car. And like they wrote the music. They wrote the songs. It's like such good stuff. It's amazing. I don't know why I didn't go all over the world and you become like some really, you know, the female Frank Sinatra or something. Okay, so tonight we have our service. We have an 11 o'clock service. We're going to have three more brothers sharing. And then tonight we'll have our service. Then tomorrow I'll be in the lunch wrap time. Then there's radio, I think, with Pastor Shabelli. Then in the evening, there's Footsteps. Anybody's here, you're welcome. We have a regular week program this week, so you're welcome. And Wednesday night service. We just are deeply thankful for what the Lord has given us. So I'll give an invitation for any visit. Are there any visitors here this morning? First time in a Greater Grace service. We want to give you a little material. Anyone at all, just feel free to raise your hand. Go see that gentleman right there with the blue shirt. You may go to him and get your material if you want to, or out in the foyer. We're just so glad to have you, and you're welcome to come back. All right, so would you pray with me as we pray for anyone here this morning that is not yet made the decision to respond to God's outstretched arms, his heart toward you through giving his son, Jesus Christ, for you to take your sins, which is really a problem, take your sins upon his body, to take them away, put them in the deepest sea, separate, put them as far as the east is from the west, to put your name in the book of life, to give you the Holy Spirit and call you his child. Your decision, if you will respond to that and say yes to him, yes, I believe in you. I cannot improve my life, but I can trust in you. I cannot save myself, but I can trust in you. I cannot do this, but you saved me. You came to save me, and I receive that. I believe in you. In Jesus' name. If anyone said that prayer this morning, would you just raise your hand? Anyone saying yes to Jesus, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. We care about your future, care about your growth. It's your decision. You may never come back to this church again, but we want to encourage you in your faith. Please come back I don't mean that. But at the same time, you're not joining a church. You're just saying yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus and believe in him. Anyone? In Jesus' name, amen.